in the spot in Rabbi Akiva a little bit. L'Ag BaOmer this week. Avelus, Tim Rabbi Akiva and Nifter. Avelus ends. Rabbi Akiva lost Yud Beis Aleph, Zugas of Talmidim. One of the questions, why we make a unique Avelus for Tamir Rabbi Akiva, normally the Zman that we take all of the Torahs of Klal Yisrael and we are misavel on them is during the 3 weeks. Why is this a unique, why is this its own distinct separate Avelus? Some shot is because it was being misavel not on the Talmidim but on the Torah. We're talking about Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Obviously, they were Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. They weren't Katlakanya. They were tremendous Talmidim Chachamim. They were able to hear a shiur from the Rabbi Akiva. I once mentioned, spoke about the entrance b'chinah to the Vilna Gaon's Klois. So obviously, if you came to the Vilna Gaon to learn by him, you had to be of a madrega that's worthwhile to come. You know, you set the shiur, you don't know what he's talking about, so what are you there for? These are Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim. We're talking about the G'dayla Elam. The loss of Torah. If we could say the words, imagine that this hadn't happened, and these 24,000 Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva had remained in this world, and those Talmidim had Talmidim, and the Talmidim of the Talmidim will have Talmidim. Golos Mashiach would have come, the Golos would look different if Mashiach doesn't come. Maybe there never would have been a reform, because who knows what would have been? The world would have been different. So much Torah was lost. 24,000 Talmidim of Gedolei Olam, 24 of Moshe Feinsteins, 24,000 of Moshe Feinsteins left the world. 24,000 Stiplers left the world. We don't know what those words mean. It's an avelus for the loss of the Torah. But I want to think about Rabbi Akiva for a sec. Rabbi Akiva's life work. He built a yeshiva. He started with some Talmidim, more Talmidim. It's 24 years of Torah, left his wife, family behind. He put himself into building Torah like this. And at the kufa of 30 days, it's gone. He's watching over 1,000 of his Talmidim die every single day. There's 1,000 Levayas. There's 1,000 Hetzpedim. It's Talmidim. Each Talmud is like a child. The pain, the tsar, the yogin, the anocha. And I imagine after a few days he saw where this was going. It wasn't stopping, it wasn't abating. The worry about the future, what's going to be, it's going to destroy a person, it's going to rip him apart. He throws his hands up in despair. He says, I'm done. Finds some little small shul somewhere, hidden somewhere in some little city in the north. Puts his head down and he cries. Learns a little Gemara. Get to right there. I don't know. No, he doesn't do that. He goes to Eitzrab Ashenash Abadorim. Meir, Yehuda, Reb Elazar, Reb Yossi, Reb Shimon. And he taught them Torah. Now these weren't his Talmidim. The more refers to them as their mayor. They were Reb Senesh Bedorah. They already accomplished Talmid Chachamim. And he teaches them his Torah. Well, Rabbi Akiva decided that, I've done mine. We would get it. We'd relate to that. He didn't do that. He goes and he teaches these people which weren't his Talmidim. He didn't build them from scratch. He didn't develop them. They had their own Mahalach. The mayor has his Mahalach. The mayor has his Mahalach. And that's Torah. Gemara Megillah, the face. Stamas Nisan is her mayor. Stam Safra is her Yehuda, Rashi says. Stam Tsef is her Nehemia. Makulan seems so, I'll leave it there, Bekiva. Rav Shimon says that all of his Torah is Trumas. He tells us from Rav Akiva, he has the best part of Rav Akiva's Torah. All of the Kabbalah we have is Rav Akiva's Torah. It's not Rav Shimon's Torah. It's the Trumas of Rav Akiva's Torah, but it's Rav Akiva's Torah. So our Kabbalah, our Mishnah, our Safra, Kulan sees all the Rav Akiva. Can we explain a little bit, like, what lesson does Rabbi Akiva have for us? Rabbi Akiva is also an extraordinary person. Because Morris says, he says, until I was, before he was 40 years old, he says, I said about a Talmud Chacham, give me a Talmud Chacham, Veshchenu Kechamor, Morris says. Kechamor, why Kechamor? Because a Chamor, when it bites, it breaks the bone. And then he sees, he walks by a rock, and he sees there's a hole in the rock. He says, "Who made the hole in the rock?" They tell him, "Akiva, you didn't know." The water wears a hole in the rock. He says, "You have Kalva Chaimer. If the water can make a hole in the rock, the water is soft and the rock is hard. Torah, which is kosher, and my heart is soft, it can make a hole. It can get through it to me also." He goes and he learns Torah. Now, you have to be misbind in that thought process. He made a kabbalah chacham that the Torah can go in. So now he goes and learns. If his problem was that he held it, he said, Talmud Chacham, and the problem is because he said, he's not so smart, so Rav Akiva didn't believe he could do it. Now he realizes kabbalah chacham says, he could do it. Okay, so he could do it, let's go do it. Rav Akiva is grappling with, can I do it? He picks himself up and he does it. By now, if you haven't realized, I like to refer back to my years in yeshiva. I came to yeshiva, so the third shiur in the high school. So in the 1970s, there weren't many Baal Tshuva yeshivas in America, like zero. In Kavach Harbor, there weren't any Baal Tshuva yeshivas in Cleveland. There was a person who was Baal Tshuva. The fellow must have been in his mid-30s. He was sitting in the third shiur, the high school shiur. He became frum and he wanted to learn Gemara, and he took off some time from whatever his. He left his job for a period of time, and he came to yeshiva. So where they put him, and they put him in the shiur, which made sense to him. So he was, when I came, he was in the third shiur of the high school. So the average age in the shiur was about 15. You know, this fellow was 35 years old, and he's sitting there every single day. He was sitting there with the other bachurim, you know, learning Torah. Married, family, you know. That I was in awe. Like, it's pretty embarrassing, pretty uncomfortable, you know. Like, you know, and I'm sure there were times that the Bachram got it quicker than him. He didn't have any background. They had background, you know. They've been the guys most of the Bachram, you know. They came from the day schools, you know. They had background already, and he didn't have any background, you know. So he asked the camera, he asked a stupid question. He goes by. Tremendous kavuras hadas to do such a thing. Rabbi Akiva sits, starting learning some first. He started with Aleph Beis. There was a. I have a rav that I asked my shaylos to. He came to tell the Shiva from Australia years before me, and he came as an older bacher already with very little background. So they put him in, you know, the first year in the high school. At that point in time, there was a very, very precocious young man who is now the Shiva of Riverdale Yeshiva, Ram Osband, who was the same. They were the same age. But he started Mechina, the high school, I think he was 7 when he started the high school. Not sure because so by the time he was that age, he was ready fourth year in Beis Medrash. So they used to tease this person, you know, like, and our yeshiva, the guys this age are in fourth year Beis Medrash, not in the bottom shear of high school. He persevered, and now he's the first thing that I go to when I have a halacha shabbat. That's who I call. But they shepherded him. They teased him. I don't know. I can't say. But in the stam in the shiva, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua, they used to tease Rekiva also. You know, Rekiva, 40 years old. I'm Oritz. I'm 8, and I already know more than you. Come on. Yeshivachim. The part of being Yeshivachim is you tease people, right? We have a Gemara in the Makkos. They're coming out of the Kaddish. They're passing by the Kaddish Kedoshim. Rekiva with the Chachamim are passing by the Kaddish Kedoshim. And they see a shul walking out of the base Kaddish Kedoshim. Somebody described to me, he went back to Europe to tell the Shiva. The building is still standing. It was used by the Nazis, and this was their custom. They did the same thing in the city of Ger. And they took the base medrash, they made it a stable for horses, for animals. So you come and you see the building. The building is empty, and you see the destruction. But you see the filth, the foul reek, and a person remembers what it looked like. The hundreds and hundreds of people sitting and learning Torah. The Ger Beis Medrash was in before the war in Europe. The Ger Beis Medrash, they're in the Yom Kippur. There was 10,000 people there. Somebody said he went back after the war, and it's empty. Not just empty; it's filthy. He sees the animals. They see a shul come out of the Kaddish Kedoshim. These are people who saw the Chachamim. Some of them they saw the Ba'is, the Ibn Usa, they saw the Beis Hamikdash, and they start crying. They're crying. They're heart-rending sobs. And Rekiva starts to laugh. What are you laughing for? What are you crying for? Somebody says a whole question back and forth. Rekiva seems to have an interesting way of looking at the world. He's 40 years old and he has no problem going to the Beis Medrash to learn. They're making fun of him, Geis and Mishdan. His yeshiva falls apart, he gets by. He sees the shulim walking out of the Beis Medrash and he has a cheshbon of how do you do it? What's the Rekiva's lesson to us? If we would want to describe what would be the midah that we would react to a situation of destruction, overwhelming destruction, and it's the midah of Yish, despair, Yish. What's the opposite of Yiddish? One of our Rebbeim used to always say, it's Chazanish. Chazanish says that this is not a Musar Shmuz. This is a Chazanish and Chashim Mishpat. Chazanish says that the opposite of Yiddish is Tikva. Tikva is hope. I lose an item, an Aveda, I hope to get it back. Yish is when I despair of getting it back. So the opposite of Yish is Tikva. And then the Chazanish explains that that's a continuum. A person loses an Aveda. So 95% he still hopes to get it back. He hopes to get it back, but he understands back in line might not work. And eventually, as it takes some time, so the hope gets less and less and less, and the despair gets greater and greater until it reaches a point that luckily is called Yish. That's the Chazanish describes Yish. So the opposite of Yish is Tikva. So we have a Rebbe Akiva, last mission Yuma. I'm Rebbe Akiva, I'm Mikvah Matar Satsmei, I'm Mikvah Shprok Matar Satsmei. Shanem Rebbe Akiva Yisrael Hashem, Moshe Rebbe Yisrael. beautiful pasuk. Mikveh Yisrael Hashem, the tahara, the mikveh Yisrael is Hashem. Only problem is you look at the pasuk. Pasuk in Yirmiyah, you look at the pasuk. The pasuk, the translation of the pasuk, the targum Anderson, Rashi. They don't know about this Gemara in Yuma. It says the hope of mikveh Yisrael, the hope of Klal Yisrael is Hashem. Moshiach, he will save them. Beisor doesn't say the tahara process of a mikveh. It says the tikva, the hope of Klal Yisrael is Hashem. That's the pasuk. Why are people miyayish? There's also mitzvah with the stipler. The person, Shiva, came to the stipler to discuss one of his talmidim. And the talmidim says his talmud wasn't successful in yeshiva. Maybe it's time he should go out and move somewhere else and do something else, etc., etc. The stipler asked the Shiva, is his talmud able to read a Mishnah and understand the Mishnah? He said, yes. He says, what do you mean he's not successful in yeshiva? What do you mean he's not successful? He can read a Mishnah. He can talk to a Mishnah. He can learn a Mishnah. Now, I would like to promise you and inform you that the stipler was a Talmud Chacham. And he knew that learning in yeshiva meant more than just learning a Mishnah. So what does it mean that he answered the yeshiva? What do you're saying the Bachar is not successful in yeshiva? What do you mean he's not successful? He can learn a Mishnah. So the stipler's definition of success in yeshiva is learning a Mishnah. That's a pretty low bar. What was the stipler saying? When we have yiyush, we have despair because we feel we're not being successful. We have to ask ourselves, what's motivating us to have the title successful? What is this need to feel successful for? We have a society around us which says, oh, he's successful. Successful means he makes a lot of money. That's their definition. But why is that important? Why do you want to know that he's successful? What if he's not successful? Well, who cares whether he's successful or not? I swear, he's successful. I feel good about myself because I'm successful. The root of that issue is because we don't value ourselves. And when we're successful, we feel valuable. Because whatever definition of success which the society has given us, we feel good about ourselves because now we've reached that thing called success. Who defines success? And why do I care whether you define me as successful? Is because I don't value myself. But you have to feel valuable. So I get my value from outside of me. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Haftarich Kamarcha Zak Chol Gadol B'Torah." The Ramban says, "What is this mitzvah of Haftarich Kamarcha?" So it's a Medrash Betzim. Medrash on the Medrash. The Medrash of Haftarich Kamarcha is Kenegel Usachmar. The Chaim Vital says, "Shame the Kisar Rizal." He says that Usachmar is the most important of the Sarsa Dibros. Because we know that the Mispera Esser is always a Mispera Karlos, so that's Karl everything. And Kiva said, Kal Gadol B'Gatara, Dr. Mbahan, don't have Kina. How do you not have Kina? Revolver writes that the most challenging thing for a Bachar in Yeshiva is Kina. He says, because in Yeshiva, it's extremely difficult. Now, the way I say it over, I said that. We have all the jokes about the Yiddish Mama, you know, the Yiddish Mama, my son is God's gift to mankind. That's a Yiddish Mama, right? That's the version's antidote to Kina. Guy goes to yeshiva, comes home at night, So he sits in yeshiva, and there's one guy over that's, you know, smarter than him. One guy has a quicker tefisa, another guy has a better zikoron, and one fellow's a bigger tzaddik, and he's a bigger bal chesed, and he's a bigger Davin's better. Everybody's better than you in some way. So you feel sugar worn out at the end of the day. Like, who am I? What am I? I'm not so good compared to these people. You go home, and you must say, my Yankele! There's nothing better than my Yankele. No, he gets a chizuk, he feels good about himself, because at the yeshiva, the same thing. He said, what happens? You live in the dorm. So when do you run away from that feeling? When do you run away from that feeling that what are you? So the pasuk says, Mishlei rekav atzelm is kina. The withering of your atzmius is kina. It destroys you from the inside. I feel like I'm nothing. I can't love somebody else who's reminding me of my chesronus. I can't. It eats away at me. L'hathorecha kamoicha is only possible when I'm very comfortable with myself. I feel very good about myself. I understand my value. So you know what? I'm happy you should have value also. I don't have to define myself against you. But I have to define myself against everybody else. Every person kvetches into me how worthless I am. I'm going to hate that person. I'm not going to love him. Do you want to take the midah? The Bereshim comes. Anoche Hashem Elokecha. Chazal said the Bereshim came to every person in Klai Yisrael and spoke to him directly. The Dibur came to him and says, I'm your God. I'm yours. I created you. If I created you, obviously you're valuable to me. I have expectations for you. I care about you. I want you to be successful. I don't measure you against anybody else. You come to the Yom HaDin all by yourself. Give a name, Aaron, one person at a time. I'm not measuring you against anybody else. We have difficulty with that. A mother brings a second child home, and she tells the child, you know, there's room in a mother's heart to love every child equally, no matter what. I don't have to measure you against anybody else. I love you for who you are, not against anybody else. Right, the kid says, right. My wife one time says, you want to get emotional to your mouth with that, to, you know, what the child feels. The mother said, what do you mean? I really love everybody. It's true. 100% true. The husband comes home one day. He says, you know, my wife, I love you dearly as much as I always did. And there's room in my heart for more. I have a second wife. If I love you dearly just as much as I always did before. Don't worry. Right. So that's exactly what the child feels like when my mother comes with another kid. I love you just as much as before. But is that true? Of course it's true. The mother's love is not diminished. It just expands. The person's love for you is not diminished because he has love for somebody else. The person's belief in you isn't affected by the fact that there's somebody else in this world. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Loisachon. You want to take Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you want to take that and internalize it? Don't define yourself by anybody else in the world. The person says, I created the whole world. Bishuli Nivra Olam. Created the whole world just for you. You were worth it. That's what Chazal tells us, the Bereshit says. The Bereshit says, I created the whole world just for you. Everything which is here was Kedai just for you. If you really feel that, and you absorb that, there's almost Achman. Rahaf to Recha Kamaycha, Zat Rekiva. The definition of success is irrelevant. Success is needed to convince you that you're worth something when you're worried about that you're worthless. I'm not worthless because I'm successful. The kasha mikor lesson. It's like basically it's the difference between him and Reb Chaim. It says when Reb Chaim would they asked him what's the difference, he says, you know, when someone would ask me a kasha, I would give him a teretz. And he would have a geshmak, he had a good kasha. I have a geshmak, he had a good teretz. He says, Reb Chaim, they go to Reb Chaim, I saw Reb Chaim. He says, he shows him why the kasha is not a kasha. So there's no hanok on the kasha, no hanok on the teretz. There's no kasha, no teretz. Kusha mikor lesson. The Rekiva understood that Mikva Yisrael Hashem, the Bereshim is the hope. The hope is the understanding that I don't have to define myself by success. There's always what to do. If I can say these words, Imagine there was the newspapers in the time of Rabbi Akiva, you know, right? So there would be the reports of the Yisimim dying, and you'll have the opinion page of you know, why it happened. And of course, you know, obviously it has to do with the rabbi, it's the rabbi's fault, and the rabbi, he looks like a big tzaddik, but you know, stop me, you know, Rikiva has his other concerns and problems, you know. Like, you know, and they, you know, it's, we're happy that finally this, you know, yeshiva closed down, you know, there's another opinion about that, etc. He didn't read the newspaper. He didn't define himself by anybody else. He says, yeah, they walk into the shul. I know what happens. The rabbi obviously had, you know, must be, who knows what these talmidim were like. I mean, they're all dying like this. Nobody else in the place was dying, just them. You can imagine what type of rabbi he is. And Rabbi Akiva didn't define himself by anybody else. Rabbi Akiva understood, for whatever reason, the Brashim had a cheshbon, destruction is not the end. Destruction is the source for rebuilding. Morale says that the Rabbi Akiva saw that you take this little seed, you put it in the ground, and out comes this enormous tree. You know, the redwood start with a little seed. Do you know what happens if you put the seed in the ground? It decomposes. You can't take out all of the strength and the power which is there until it decomposes. We don't know what the world will be like without Rabbi Akiva's this star, and we mourn that. But Rabbi Akiva understood that the destruction of the Mikdash, the shoyalim, the bottom, the rock bottom, is not the end. That just means that whatever was bad is being pulled out, and we can rebuild in a more pure way. So the morale is Mazel Gemara over there, then the Makkos. The pasuk says, two aid in them on it. By Shrishan, by Shani, Zacharya, Uriah. They understood that rebuilding the Yisurim is necessary. It pulls out the chesroinus in the person. It pulls out the impurities. There's always tikva. The process of tahara requires that, but not to give up. Not to define yourself outside of yourself by quote-unquote success. I mean, I had a yeshiva 20,000 men. Look how successful I am. If that was what made Rabbi Akiva go, he'd be crushed. But Akiva says, my value is the Bereshit made me. My value is the Bereshit made me, he believes in me. My value is the Bereshit made me, he believes in me. He has expectations in me. It's not up to me to accomplish. Famous Maimon from Rishon Salanter, he said, Medavton, you have to do. Enish Nachton, don't imitate. You have to do your own thing. Medavton, Enish Upton, you have to do and not try to get it done with. Medavton, in this lifetime, you have to do and not accomplish. It's not about accomplishing, it's about doing. Accomplishing the person's business. The person has a superness. I had this aura just, I'm sitting here at the soil now for Pesach. But I have this very geshmak, week before Pesach, sitting in Beis Medrash and learning without, with Baruch Hashem, nobody had my phone number in America, so I was able to sit and learn without any. And I was thinking about, there's people sitting in this Beis Medrash. Listening to them learn. Some of them are obviously quite accomplished. And some of them, I'm sure, have shiurim and tamidim, etc. Some of them don't. And some put out a sefer. Some of them we'll never know about. They don't put out a sefer. They don't have any tamidim. He's sitting with his chavrus and he's learning. He never gets the fame and the glory. Is he less of a talmid chacham than anybody else? No. Why? Moshe is chesbarnis. I call to the mouth of the Sefer Torah Shebaechol. Chesbarnis. If he defines himself by what other people define him, he's going to keep crushing. I want the recognition and the definition of success, etc. The person defines that, I'm learning Moshe's Torah. It's me and the Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Gemara. That's it. Who gets more scar in Olam Haba? I don't know. Maybe he gets more scar because it's not easy. It's easier to do it with the fame and the glory. It gives you the energy to go weiter. Where do you get the energy to go weiter when nobody could care less whether you walk the face of this earth or not? It's just in you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe that's more valuable. I just watching these people sitting and learning, Yishmak, people older than me. And some of them, I don't know for a fact, but they look like, yeah, they sit and learn. That's what they do with their life. They sit and learn. Gazelle. It's not about accomplishing. It's not about what sefer I published, and what yeshiva I built, and what and how many people know about my name. It's about learning the Rosham Torah. Rekiba says it's not about my yeshiva was big or was small, etc. It's about the Rosham giving me the opportunity to teach Torah. I'm going to do that. That's it. Five talmidim, b'ayichud good. When a person is comfortable with who he is, he knows intrinsically his value. He knows the Rosham created him. To the point where he can forgive the rest of the veld. I don't need to define myself by anybody else. I really don't care how they define me. It's unimportant. I'm happy for you. You should also be successful. I understand that. That I understand Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. That I understand that the Shulim Hochuboy, that means Adam Nemonim, there's going to be a Mashiach. There's the structure of yeshiva, I can build a yeshiva. And that yeshiva, and that ability to believe in his value and not be discouraged and to define himself between him and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is why we have Torah this day. Why we have Shas today. Why we have Zohar today. Because Rekiva understood his intrinsic value in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch Hu.